We cross to the United Kingdom and our correspondent Matthew Paris is here. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, hello.
We've been talking about the government's new tracing app here in New Zealand. What's happening over there?
A bit of a hiccup, really. We don't actually have a tracing app yet. We're developing one. Boris Johnson keeps talking about the world's most advanced tracing app. That's certainly what we want. We don't have it yet. But what we are trying to do is recruit the contact people who will contact and trace the people that need to be spoken to. And a very large number of recruits, potential recruits, have been recruited. And there's been a bit of a scandal in the newspapers this morning because a company called Serco, who is responsible for finding the contact tracers and training them up, appears to have emailed one of them with the email addresses of all the others, 300 other email addresses. So they all know each other's email addresses. Now, in fact, there's only been one complaint, and presumably people who want to work as contact tracers are nice people. So there isn't actually huge outrage that email addresses have been shared, but there is a certain feeling that if the government and its agents can't even get this right, are they going to get the contract tracing system right? We're not sure about that app yet. I shall believe that app when I see it.
Well, you can borrow ours, but it's kind of a beta model.
How's yours going?
Well, I only had it for a couple of days, and it's pretty basic. I mean, it is, and I had the same question for the person we were speaking to today. It feels, you know, I know we're talking about weeks, but this is technology. We have very smart people out there, and there are examples in countries like Australia and Singapore. So it does feel like the UK has been really slow off the mark here.
We seem to have been slow off the mark with almost everything. We were slow off the mark with lockdown. We were slow off the mark with understanding that old people's homes, care homes, were obviously going to be a place where safeguarding was necessary. We were slow off the mark with testing. We've only really started mass testing. We're doing well now. We're up to 170,000 a day, but the rest of the world seems to have been testing from the start. We abandoned it. There is, I think, an inquiry to be conducted after this as to how slow off the mark we have been on how many things. And there is some sign now that the government's reputation for competence in this is beginning to slip. Approval of the government is beginning to slip. But most people would agree that this is for another day.
Prince Charles is issuing an appeal to the British people to pick fruit and vegetables for Britain. I love this. That's so resonant, isn't it, of the world wars. But what's the idea behind this?
The problem is that we are desperately short of people to pick our fruit and vegetables. The United Kingdom has always, I'm afraid to say, relied on cheap labour from Eastern Europe. They work harder for lower wages. They're better at it, and we British are not too keen to be out back-breaking work in Lincolnshire, pulling cabbages out of the ground. And, of course, they can't come here now, and the new immigration bill that's just going through the House of Commons is going to make it very hard for them ever to come here. And so we have cabbages rotting in the fields, the danger that strawberries are going to rot, that apples are going to rot. The farmers are desperate, and Prince Charles has issued this pick for Britain. And apparently quite a few people have signed up to find out about it. But once they see how hard the work is and how hard the conditions are and how difficult it is and how low the pay is, they tend to melt into the background, and we're missing the Romanians and the Bulgarians very much. I should like to see Prince Charles himself out there picking potatoes.
I'm sure he would consider it on his as a private estate. The immigration bill, was this in the works before the pandemic?
Yes, it was, and it is an integral part of the whole Brexit process. The whole Brexit idea was sold on the idea we take back control of our own borders and we're not going to have so many people coming in from abroad. And the immigration bill very much follows what the government has always promised, which is that we will be open to the immigration of highly paid, high-skilled workers, but we don't want low-skill, low-pay immigration. That's the idea behind it. And our Home Secretary, Priti Patel, is now taking this thing through Parliament. The problem is this is happening at the point when we are terrifically dependent on low pay social care workers coming here from Britain and from the Commonwealth as well. We need the nurses. We need the hospital porters. We need the cleaners. And there's something really cruel about legislation going through Parliament to keep these people out when we are so dependent on them. After all, your New Zealand nurse, for instance, whom Boris Johnson's particularly praised, that there are
nurse
all
Jenny.
These people.
Nurse Jenny from Invercargill, yes.
She's famous here. Well, you know, we're relying on these people, and now we're passing legislation to keep them out in the future. There's, I think, a widespread feeling of injustice about this.
We must touch on, this is such a lovely story, we were talking about it this morning on RNZ, the knighthood for Captain Sir Tom Moore. He has been a beacon of light, hasn't he, in these dark times?
He absolutely has. Is he 100 or 101? I can't remember, but he's going to be certainly the oldest new knight, God willing, if he lives to the investiture. Yeah, by running round and round his garden, he's raised £30 million for COVID charities. And he gives a really good interview. He's obviously completely all there. He's had a very good COVID war, and he had a very good Second World War too. And the newspapers are full of pictures of him with all his medals on. And now he will be Sir Captain Tom or Captain Sir
Tom? I think is how I heard
Captain
it.
Captain Sir Tom Moore. Yes.
It's a lovely story.
Good for him. Good for him.
And he can sing too. So, I do want to touch on schools. I've got family in the UK, and one of them's in the as a teacher, and she thought that schools wouldn't be returning until September, and that was even a month ago or so. Thought that. What's happening on this 1st of June date?
Well, what was going to happen on the 1st of June, and the Prime Minister announced it last week, was that schools, particularly some of the primary schools, the key years, were going to go back on the 1st of June. Some schools, of course, as your relatives will have told you, have remained open throughout for key workers. There's been a huge kickback from the trade unions and a certain amount of unhappiness from local authorities, many of whom are responsible for these schools. And on two things, really. One on safety. Is it yet safe? Do we know that children can't transmit? How dangerous is it to the teachers themselves? And secondly, have the schools got time in the two weeks we have left to prepare? The trade unions have given a bit of ground and started to sound more positive about cooperating, getting schools open. The government is now, just today, giving a bit of ground and saying, look, they can't all open on the 1st of June. We're just going to have to do it bit by bit, school by school, depending on local circumstances. I have a feeling this is a row that is now fading. Everybody thinks that the sooner children can get back to school, the better. Everybody agrees that, particularly for the less privileged section of society who don't have smart mums and dads to help them with their laptops.
We've got a minute to go, but we'll touch on, since we're talking about education, Cambridge has made a decision on its lectures, and they're going to be online for the foreseeable.
Yeah, all lectures online when the university goes back this September, and they say for all of next year. And there's quite a lot of university students now thinking, what is the university experience going to be? Are we going to be hanging around with a lot of people? Are we going to be talking to people? Are we going to be in groups? Is it going to be a collegiate thing? Or are we just going to be sitting in our rooms working on laptops, in which case why go to university in the first place? Could we do all this remotely? I think this is going to be a very big story in the year to come. One of the appeals of university life, which is as much social as anything, is beginning to fade because it's not going to be available.
Matthew Paris, a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much, Matthew, reporting from the UK.